Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Nitai Gaura Haribo, 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 Nitai Gaura Haribo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Continue readings from Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam. We're on 7th canto, chapter 8. Texts, I believe 25. The verse that's on the board is text 27. We'll be covering through text 32. So I'll read the Sanskrit. Let's see, how should we do this? Okay, we'll read the text 27.
Dhammanyamana nijavirya sankitam. Yadhashta mukto nihadi mahasura. Punastam a. Sajata kadgacharmani pragrihya vegena katashrama mridhe tamanyamano nijavirya sankitam yadhashta mukto nihadim mahasura Punastamajasatakadgacharmani Pragrihya vegena gatashramo mride
That's not the right meter either.
Tanmanyamano nijavirya shankitam Yadhashta mukto nihadim mahasura Punastha masaj takadgacharmani Pragrihya vegena gatashramo mride Tamanyamano nijavirya shankitam Yadhashta mukto nihadim hashra Tam him, Lord Nrisingadev, Manyamana, thinking, Nijavirya Sankitam, afraid of his prowess, yet because Hashtamukta, freed from the clutches of the Lord, Nriharim, Lord Nrisingadev, Masra, the great demon, Puna, again, Tam, him, Asajata, attacked, Kadgacharamani, his sword and shield, Pragriha, taking up, Vegena, with great force, Gatashrama, his fatigue having gone, Mridhe, in the battle. I'm going to catch us up here before we go into that text and purport. We left off in text 25, so we'll catch up here to text 27. Text 25, translation. Thereafter, the great demon Hiranyakashipu, who was extremely angry, swiftly attacked Nrisingadev with his club and began to beat him. Lord Nrisingadev, however, captured the great demon along with his club, just as Garuda might capture a great snake. Text 26. O Yudhishthir, O great son of Bharat, when Lord Nrisingadev gave Hiranyakashipu a chance to slip from his hand, just as Garuda sometimes plays with a snake and lets it slip from his mouth, the demigods who had lost their abodes and who were hiding behind the clouds for fear of the demon did not consider that incident very good. Indeed, they were perturbed. Purport. When Hiranyakashipu was in the process of being killed by Lord Nrisingadev, the Lord gave the demon a chance to slip from his clutches. This incident was not very much appreciated by the demigods, for they were greatly afraid of Hiranyakashipu. They knew that if somehow or other Hiranyakashipu escaped from Nrisingadev's hands and saw that the demigods were looking forward to his death with great pleasure, he would take great revenge upon them. Therefore, they were very much afraid. Today's text, 27. Translation. When Hiranyakashipu was freed from the hands of Nrisingadev, he falsely thought that the Lord was afraid of his prowess. Therefore, after taking a little rest from the fight, he took up his sword and shield and again attacked the Lord with great force. Purport. When a sinful man enjoys material facilities, foolish people sometimes think, how is it that this sinful man is enjoying, whereas a pious man is suffering? By the will of the Supreme, a sinful man is sometimes given the chance to enjoy the material world as if he were not under the clutches of material nature, just so that he may be fooled. A sinful man who acts against the laws of nature must be punished, but sometimes he is given a chance to play exactly like Hiranyakashipu when he was released from the hands of Nrisingadev. Hiranyakashipu was destined to be ultimately killed by Nrisingadev, but just to see the fun, the Lord gave him a chance to slip from his hands. Text 28. Making a loud, shrill sound of laughter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, who was extremely strong and powerful, captured Hiranyakashipu, who was protecting himself with his sword and shield, leaving no gaps open. With the speed of a hawk, Hiranyakashipu moved sometimes in the sky and sometimes on the earth, his eyes closed because of fear of Nrisingadev's laughter. As a snake captures a mouse, or Garuda captures a very venomous snake, Lord Nrisingadev captured Hiranyakashipu, who could not be pierced even by the thunderbolt of King Indra. As Hiranyakashipu moved his limbs here, there, and all around, very much afflicted at being captured, Lord Nrisingadev placed the demon on his lap, supporting him with his thighs. In the doorway of the assembly hall, the Lord very easily tore the demon to pieces with the nails of his hand. Purport. Hiranyakashipu had received from Lord Brahma the benediction that he would not die on the land or in the sky. Therefore, to keep the promises of Lord Brahma intact, Nrisingadev placed Hiranyakashipu's body on his lap, which was neither land nor sky. Hiranyakashipu had received the benediction that he would not die either during the day or at night. Therefore, to keep the promise of Brahma, the Lord killed Hiranyakashipu in the evening, which is the end of day and the beginning of night, but is neither day nor night. Hiranyakashipu had taken a benediction from Lord Brahma that he would not die from any weapon or be killed by any person, dead or alive. Therefore, just to keep the word of Lord Brahma, Lord Nrsingadev pierced Hiranyakashipu's body with his nails, which were not weapons and were neither living nor dead. Indeed, the nails can be called dead, but at the same time they can be said to be alive. To keep intact all of Lord Brahma's benedictions, Lord Nrsingadev paradoxically but very easily killed the great demon Hiranyakashipu. Lord Nrsingadev's mouth and mane were sprinkled with drops of blood, and his fierce eyes, full of anger, were impossible to look at. Licking the edge of his mouth with his tongue, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nrsingadev, decorated with the garland of intestines taken from Hiranyakashipu's abdomen, resembled a lion that has just killed an elephant. Purport, the hair on Lord Nrsingadev's face, being sprinkled with drops of blood, was reddish and looked very beautiful. Lord Nrsingadev pierced Hiranyakashipu's abdomen with his nails, pulled out the demon's intestines, and wore them as a garland, which enhanced his beauty. Thus, the Lord became very fearsome, like a lion engaged in fighting an elephant. Text 31. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had many, many arms, first uprooted Hiranyakashipu's heart and then threw it aside and turned towards the demon soldiers. These soldiers had come in thousands to fight with him, with raised weapons, and were very faithful followers of Hiranyakashipu. But Lord Nrsingadev killed all of them merely with the ends of his nails. Purport, since the creation of the material world, there have always been two kinds of men, the devas and the asuras. The devas are always faithful to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas the asuras are always atheists who defy the supremacy of the Lord. At the present moment, throughout the entire world, the atheists are extremely numerous. They are trying to prove that there is no God and that everything takes place due to combinations and permutations of material elements. Thus, the material world is becoming more and more godless, and consequently everything is in a disturbed condition. If this continues, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will certainly take action, as he did in the case of Hiranyakashipu. Within a second, Hiranyakashipu and his followers were destroyed. And similarly, if this godless civilization continues, it will be destroyed in a second, simply by the movement of one finger of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The demons should therefore be careful and curtail their godless civilization. They should take advantage of the Krishna consciousness movement and become faithful to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, they are doomed. As Hiranyakashipu was killed in a second, the godless civilization can be destroyed at any moment. Last text, 32. The hair on Nrsingadev's head shook the clouds and scattered them here and there. His glaring eyes stole the effulgence of the luminaries in the sky, and his breathing agitated the seas and oceans. Because of his roaring, all the elephants in the world began to cry in fear. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, 10:41, Yad yad viputimat satam shimad urjitam evava tattad evavachatam. Mama tejom shusambhavam. Know that all beautiful, glorious, and mighty creations spring but from a spark of my splendor. The illumination of the planets and stars in the sky is but a partial manifestation of the Lord's effulgence. There are many wonderful qualities of different living beings, but whatever extraordinary things exist are but part of the Lord's tejas, his illumination or brilliance. The deep waves of the seas and oceans and the many other wonders within the creation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead all become insignificant when the Lord, in his special feature, incarnates within this material world. Everything is insignificant in comparison to his personal, all-defeating transcendental qualities. Om Agyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurum yatatam yena tasmai shri gurave namah shri chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa gadamayam dadati svabhantikam anchakul patruvishcha kripa sindhu beheva cha patitanan pavanibhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhar shri vasadi gaura bhakta vrinda
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So we are hearing today a nice series of verses here. The Lord is protecting his devotee. This is Krishna's nature. One of the most amazing qualities of Krishna, bhaktavatsala, that he is the best friend or the protector of his devotees. And he never lets the devotees efforts go in vain. He's in this world, we're all actually looking for protection from so many different things. We may be looking for protection from a family member, from a house, different personalities, different seniors and elders in our life. All living entities, we're looking for that protection. We want to feel protected. Why? Because naturally the soul is part and parcel of Krishna. And therefore, when he's not feeling connected to Krishna, he's not feeling protected. Therefore, fear comes. So the soul needs that protection. If he can't find it from God, he'll look for it in so many different ways. He'll spend his whole life just trying to feel protected. The safe car, home security system, all sorts of life insurance. The real protection comes from the Lord. And Krishna is described as the source of all incarnations. Does anyone know that verse? Ete cham sakala pumsam krishnas tu bhagavan sayam indriyari vakyam ammokam miridayanti yuge yuge. I think that's the great verse. Good. Of all, the Srimad Bhagavatam explains that of all these incarnations, plenary portions and expansions of the portions of the Supreme Lord, Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna, he's the original Supreme Personality of God. So all these other incarnations and avatars of the Lord, they're coming actually from Krishna. So in one sense, the devotee sees that they are, it's Krishna in a different form. They're highlighting the glories of Krishna. Krishna is the protector of his devotees. So Nrsingadev, he's also doing that. He's carrying out that function in a particular incarnation. But he's representing that quality of Krishna. So Lord Nrsingadev, for devotees and devotees in ISKCON, is very merciful. And very, we feel his presence to the degree that we sincerely call out for his protection. This is a nice way of feeling and experiencing the Lord's protection is through Lord Nrsingadev. And in that way, we also come to know Krishna more. So there's so many pastimes of Lord Nrsingadev, and it's very heart-touching. And it's very faith-building when you hear some of these pastimes of Lord Nrsingadev and how he protects his devotees in so many various circumstances in life. So we can also pray to Lord Nrsingadev, actually. That's why Prabhupada incorporated this, offering our prayers at the end of each arti to Nrsingadev generally. He saw that devotees, I think that initially he instituted that because the devotees were having some threats and there was some security, some risks to their safety. So he said, we should worship Lord Nrsingadev. So then they started doing the Nrsingadev prayer after a lot of the kirtans and artis. I was doing a little research. There's a few different topics, but I stumbled across some really amazing pastimes that I thought I'd just share. We'll just do some Nrsingadev Katha. There's also some philosophical aspects here that are quite interesting in regards to Jai and Vijay, which we could as also go into.
But let's see what sort of pastimes we can touch here. Just kindly give me 1 minute. Many of you may be aware, in Mayapur Dham, there's a whole altar dedicated to Lord Nrsimhadev. And he's there in his Ugra form, the form where he's about to bifurcate Lord, not Lord, Hiranyakashipu. He's about to operate. And there's a very amazing deity that's there. So I may share, I don't know if some of you have heard this story. Has anyone not heard the story of how that deity got there? The deity of Lord Nrsimhadev? You guys have heard it? I won't read the whole thing, but I'll try to. It's really amazing. Okay. On the 24th of March, 1984, at 12:20 a.m., 35 dacoits armed with weapons and bombs attacked Sri Mayapur Chandrodaya Mandir. They harassed the devotees and treated them with derision. But the greatest shock came when the dacoits decided to steal the deities of Srila Prabhupada and Srimati Radharani. This is funny. In India, the thieves, you know, although they're dacoits, they're stealing, they steal the deities also. You know, they probably worship the deities or give them to someone to worship or something. In the West, they wouldn't steal the deities. They would just cause havoc. They'd be like, but maybe they were devotees in some sense. I don't know. Fiercely, the devotees challenged the attackers. How could they see Srila Prabhupada and Srimati Radharani carried away? Shots were fired. A few dacoits fell and their plans foiled. Srila Prabhupada was rescued. But the beautiful form of Srimati Radharani would no longer grace the main altar. This incident really disturbed the minds of the devotees. Those involved in management were especially concerned to make some permanent solution. This was not the first time the devotees had faced violence and harassment in Mayapur. The co-director of Mayapur suggested that Lord Nrsimhadev be installed. The dacoits had threatened devotees at Yogapit. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his son Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had promptly installed Sri Sri Lakshmi Nrsimhadev. There had been no further disturbances. Other devotees in Mayapur were not so keen to follow so closely in these footsteps. The pujari must be a Naishtika brahmachari, celibate from birth, and the worship of Lord Nrsimhadev must be very strict and regulated. Who would be prepared to worship him? Despite such hesitancy, the co-director was enthusiastic to bring Lord Nrsimhadev to Mayapur. He asked Bhaktisiddhanta Das and myself to draw some sketches. This is by Atma Tattva Prabhu. One day, quite spontaneously, he said that the deity's legs should be bent, ready to jump, and he should be looking around ferociously. His fingers should be curled, and flame should be coming from his head. I sketched a deity in this mood. The devotees liked it, and Pankajungri Das agreed to worship him. Radhapa Das, a wealthy devotee from Calcutta, offered to sponsor the sculpting and installing of the deity. It seemed Lord Nrsimhadev's appearance in ISKCON Mayapur would be a simple, straightforward affair. He paid the money, he went to get things organized. He found a very famous Stapati. Stapati not only sculpts deities, he's also expert in temple architecture. The man was very obliging until I mentioned that the deity we wanted to carve was Ugra Nrsimha. That means in this fierce form. He emphatically refused to make such a deity. I approached many deity sculptors, but the answer was always the same, no. I had made a number of trips between Mayapur and South India, 6 months, but Lord Nrsimhadev had not yet manifested in deity form. So the devotees were becoming very anxious. Then he pleaded with one and offered, the sculptor was a little more congenial and offered to read me a chapter from the Silapashastra, a Vedic scripture that deals with different forms of the deities. He read some verses aloud describing Lord Nrsimhadev, a series of verses describing his flame-like mane, his searching glance, and his
knees bent with one foot forward, ready to jump from the pillar. When he read this, I was amazed. This was exactly what we had wanted. I showed him the sketch I had done. He was impressed and offered to draw an outline based on the scriptural description, which we could use as a guide for sculpting the deity. He reminded me, though, that he would not carve the form himself. It took a week to complete the sketch, and it was very impressive. So he showed it to all the devotees. They wanted him to carve it. He went back to this Stapati to ask him to carve it. And he was very anxious. So he'd hardly brought it up again, and the man said he would carve the deity. The story of how he came to this decision is interesting. The Stapati had approached his guru, the Shankaracharya of Kanchipuram, about our request. His guru's immediate reply was, "Don't do it. Your family will be destroyed." But then, after a moment's reflection, he asked, "Who has asked you to carve the deity?" When he heard that it was from the Hare Krishna people, from Navadvip, he became very concerned. "They want Ugra Nrsingha? Are they aware of the implications of sculpting and installing Ugra Nrsingha? Such deities were carved over 3,000 years ago by very elevated Stapatis. There is a place on the way to Mysore where the very ferocious Ugra Nrsingha Dev is installed. The demon Hiranyakashipu is torn open on his lap and his intestines are spilling out on the altar. Once the standard of worship there was very high. There was an elephant procession and festival every day. But gradually the worship declined. Today that place is like a ghost town. The whole village is deserted. No one can live there peacefully. Is that what they want for their project?" The Stapati replied, "They are insistent. They are constantly coming to talk to me about the deity. Apparently they have some problem with dacoits." His guru looked at the sketch and said, "Ah, this is Ugra category. But a deity in this mood is called Shtanu Nrsingha. He doesn't exist on this planet. Even the demigods and the heavenly planets don't worship a form like this." Ugra means ferocious, very angry. There are 9 forms within this category. They are all very fierce. The one they want is Shtanu Nrsingha, stepping out of the pillar. "No, don't carve this deity. It will not be auspicious for you. I will talk with you about this later." A few nights later, the Stapati had a dream. In his dream, the guru came to him and said, "For them, you can carve Shtanu Nrsingha." The next morning, he received a hand-delivered letter from Kanchipuram. The letter was from Shankaracharya and gave some instructions regarding temple renovations. There was a footnote. It read, "For ISKCON, you can carve Shtanu Nrsingha." So he replied, "I have my guru's blessings. I will carve the deity. It would be ready for installation within 6 months." So then he went to South India to collect all the paraphernalia. He looked at me as if I lost my sense, exclaimed, "What deity? I haven't even found suitable stone." But I couldn't believe my ears. "But you told me it would be ready in 6 months," I exclaimed. "I will keep my promise," he said. "6 months after I find the stone, the deity will be ready for installation." I couldn't understand the delay. So they went back and forth a little bit. "Please be patient. I've been searching sincerely for your 6-foot slab." So you can't just purchase some form of stone. He's saying that actually this is not just, you know, mortar work. You're actually finding in which form God will incarnate. Okay. Then they went over the size. I was worried. The Mayapur managers were becoming impatient. "Are you sure this deity will be finished in 6 months?" He said, "Don't worry, the work will be done." I went back to Mayapur only to be sent back to South India to check on some details of the deity. I found the Stapati carving him with intense care and devotion. It took the Stapati a little over 12 months to finish the deity. When he completed the work, he didn't immediately inform me, but decided to visit some friends for a few days. It was the monsoon season, there were a few visitors, and he felt safe to lock up Lord Nrsingadev securely in his thatched shed. 2 days later, his neighbors ran to inform him that the thatched shed was on fire. There was heavy rain and everything was wet, but the coconut tree roof had caught fire. He ran to the scene to find Nrsingadev untouched, but the shed burned to ashes. Immediately he phoned me, "Please come and take your deity. He's burning everything. He's made it clear he wants to go now." Enthusiastic, I traveled to South India, hired a truck, filled it with sand. I had foolishly forgotten that Lord Nrsingadev is a very heavy personality. He weighed 1 ton. After 2 or 3 hours, we managed to move the deity safely into the truck, across the border. Once they took darshan of Lord Nrsingadev, To travel across the border safely, we needed police permission, along with signed papers. All the officers demanded to see the deity before signing the papers. Once they took darshan of Lord Nrsingdev, they all became very obliging and efficient. We had all the necessary papers in hand within 24 hours, a miracle given the usual quagmire of bureaucracy found in government offices in India. It was an exceptional case that in our Nrsingadev Stapati, he had already carved the eyes. He had not only carved the eyes, but also done the prana pratishta, installing the life force, a little puja in arti. So usually that's done in the installation ceremony, but he had already done that when they put the eyes on the deity, actually. He was already present. Who could dare say no to Nrsingadev? The installation was very simple and lasted 3 days. I remember feeling apprehensive that perhaps the installation was too simple. The grave warnings of Shankaracharya had deeply impressed me, but mine was soon appeased by an awareness of loud dynamic kirtan, Sankirtan Yajna. I felt enlivened and satisfied. Lord Nrsingadev, the practitioner of the Sankirtan mission, had finally decided to manifest Sri Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir. So that's a little bit about the deity. Now we'll hear a few pastimes with this deity. So this class is going to be a little different. Usually we focus a lot more on the text and some practical points. But this is also very nice. You'll hear periodically classes just of some pastimes. This is a really amazing story. On the 18th March 2008, a congregational member from London called to inform that his wife, Srimati Jai Shri, who was suffering from acute uterine cancer, was being flown from London to Frankfurt to be operated upon for the final time. Asked me if devotees in Sri Mayapur could offer prayers to the Lord for his wife. Doctors in London had given up hope and had claimed that she would probably have not more than 3 months as the cancer had spread to most parts of her lower body. The following morning, I explained the whole situation to His Grace Pankajankari Prabhu and humbly requested him to offer prayers and perform a puja to Lord Nrsingadev. We were both in the pujari room near the altar of Sri Sri Radha Madhava. I was dressing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and at that time of year, Pankajankari Prabhu was making final preparations for the Abhishek of Lord Nrsingadev. He asked for the name of the Mataji. I gave it to him on a piece of paper. In Germany, during the same time, a surgery was in progress to save Srimati Jayashree. After she regained her consciousness, she told her husband that she had dreamt of Lord Nrsingadev of Sri Mayapur. Bhakta Prahlad Maharaj was there to tell her the glories of Lord Nrsingadev. She also told her husband that she felt completely like a new person and something evil had left her body. After returning to London, she was taken back to the doctors for a checkup. During the PET scan, the radiologists were shocked to discover there was no sign of cancer at all in her body. They called up the hospital in Germany to confirm the medical details of the patient. The German surgeons who had operated on her could not believe what they had heard from the radiologists in London. They were shocked that there was no sign of cancer at all. The German research medical unit is currently studying the entire case deeply. Little do these doctors know about Lord Nrsingadev, who protects his devotees. When he and his good wife, Srimati Jayashree, came back to Sri Mayapur to understand what had really happened, Srimati Jayashree just cried and cried in front of Lord Nrsingadev. His Grace Jnanivas Prabhu blessed the couple and summed up the whole transcendental episode with these wonderful words. Lord Nrsingadev performs operations with his transcendental nails, and the devotees just feel blissful. So now she is a very devoted Nrsingadev Bhakta. There's a few more here. But another thing is that Lord Nrsingadev, he's the remover of obstacles, actually, on the path of devotion. It's said in Nectar of Devotion, one should worship the form of Ganapati, or that's actually Ganesh, with the remover of obstacles. The devotees worshiping him by worshiping Lord Nrsingadev because he gets his power, and Brahma Samhita describes that Ganesh, he gets his power only by the mercy of Lord Nrsingadev, because he worships Lord Nrsingadev. So Lord Nrsingadev is actually the remover of obstacles, both material and spiritual. And one can pray to him like that. There's so many amazing prayers that you can offer to Lord Nrsingadev for protection, for removing material desires, spiritual or material. He removes obstacles on our path of pure devotional service. Okay, here's one more. Recently, we'd gone through a nightmare, which I'd like to share with you all as it is still fresh in my memory. On May 29, 2011, my wife, who was 7 months pregnant, was hospitalized. At 2 a.m., she had severe bleeding, and I had to drive her to the hospital, which was 60 miles away in a neighboring country. Imagine driving someone for 1.5 hours, that at any point, this person could bleed to death. But my wife insisted she should be dropped at this private hospital and not any other hospital. For sure, Paramahamsa guided her to the best direction. Our beloved spiritual master says Krishna works in miraculous ways. My wife told me later she was convinced she was going to die, and she accepted this fact also. As one of the Western astrologer had told her some time back, it's possible she would die during the operation. While driving as well in the hospital until the moment of operation, my wife constantly offered prayers to Lord Nrsingadev. When we reached the hospital, the doctor examined the baby and noticed the heartbeat had almost stopped and immediately asked for preparation for surgical intervention. Somehow, again, by Krishna's mercy, I was watching the heartbeat in the monitor. I noticed the beat was coming back in a very sober state. I told the doctor, please wait, don't take them to surgery. I saw the heartbeat was coming back. I don't know how this is possible. Interesting, the doctor listened to my advice. He said, okay, we'll wait, but monitor her heart for 24 hours. And it so happened that these 24 hours were like Lord's blessing time to prepare the baby for premature delivery. Next day at 4 a.m., the bleeding started profusely again. The baby's heart began to become unstable. This time, the wife told my doctor, it's time to take me to the surgery room. She called me and said, I'm going to be operated. I remember driving to the hospital at 4 a.m., and I prayed so intensely to the Lord like never before in my life. After the operation, my wife told me something amazing. She told me that just before they gave her the sleeping shot at the operation table, she also prayed very sincerely and intensely to Lord Nrsingadev. She told me that time I fully concentrated my mind on the prayers, so much so that I forgot everything, my home, my three-year-old daughter, baby, you. I saw death coming, and I just concentrated my thought on the Lord. When I fell asleep, I noticed that I left my body, and I saw a brightest light I have never seen in my life. Out of that light, Lord Nrsingadev appeared. Pointing at my dead body full of blood, he told me, do you see what has remained from your material life? I looked at my dead body and understood what the Lord was saying. I told my Lord, I am ready to die, and you do as you like, but please accept my request. I feel I am not pure enough, and I have left my young daughter, age 3, at home. After a few months of silence, Lord Nrsingadev, with the most blissful smile, told me, I will give you a second chance, and disappear together with this great radiance. My wife, 39, is a Muslim by birth, and we live in Kosovo, Yugoslavia. She chants her rounds. So he's describing how she came in contact with devotees. By inconceivable mercy of Srila Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, and Lord Nrsingadev, she was able to get a second chance, and both she and our second baby, Yogamaya, were able to survive. The next day, the whole medical staff came to see her in disbelief. Many senior doctors were surprised to see them alive and told her, 99% of the patients die in your condition. But they did not know that Lord Nrsingadev wanted them to live. Please remember, there is no difference between the Lord and his holy names. They are indeed the same identity. So that's another nice pastime. Maybe we'll do one more. This is called Saved by Pillar. This was submitted by Chandamali Maharaj. He says, Radhanath Maharaj told me a very blissful story, and he said I could use it. So here it goes. There was the Taj Hotel where the terrorists attacked. They were fighting in there for 3 days, complete carnage. The terrorists had arranged in such a way that they would always be up higher. They would shoot from a lower vantage point down. Radhanath Maharaj told me this. They had all these grenades, and they would throw the grenades, and the grenades would create so much smoke that if you were down looking up, you couldn't see anything. Picture that if you were one of these soldiers or police officers and you were in this cloud of smoke, and up above you there is this hall of bullets from the terrorists shooting at you. One of those soldiers was one of our devotees. At one point, they were trying to chase these people through the hotel. They are trapped. The terrorists were throwing all these grenades. They are in a complete cloud of smoke. They cannot see 1 foot in front of their face. They can't see left, right, or anything in this hail of bullets that's being fired at them, just a wall of bullets coming at them. This devotee police officer, with two other police officers on either side, he's in the middle. He was actually completely helpless. He couldn't see left, right. He couldn't see his colleagues. He remembered that he had on his ringtone on his phone Nrsingadev prayers. He began playing the Nrsingadev prayers and praying intently to Lord Nrsingadev, "Please, I am absolutely helpless. I am going to die. Save me in an absolutely helpless state." When the shooting stopped, the smoke cleared. His friend to the right and to his left were completely killed, riddled with bullets, and he was unscathed. In front of him, which he couldn't see at the time, was a giant pillar. And because they were shooting at him, the pillar protected him. He thought, "Just as Lord Nrsingadev came out of the pillar to save Prahlad Maharaj, he has put a pillar here to save me." So my point is, simple point is, if we have that faith, oh, how will I be taken care of? Krishna will take care of you, don't worry. Let me give my life to the Sankirtan movement. Jai. Let's see if there's anything else here. So these are a few examples. There's also some intimate pastimes of the pujaris. That one time they had to change the eyes of Lord Nrsingadev because his eyes were initially red and they wanted to change. It was too fierce. And so then one day some Mataji came up before the deity and she was offering her prayers and Nrsingadev said, "I want my eyes back." And she didn't know like what is he saying? Like, what is he talking about? But she didn't know at all. And then he said again, "I want my eyes back." So then she said, "I don't know, I'll go talk to the pujari." And so she talked to the pujari, I think it was Pankajan Kripu, and he had just changed the eyes. And I think he was feeling a little guilty about doing it. And so she shared that with him, and he brought back the old eyes. There's another pastime of him, and this one that actually, just because he's such an amazing pujari and devotee, he was painting Lord Jagannath. And there was a part on Lord Jagannath that he had to fix. He had to scrape a little bit Lord Jagannath's face to maybe remove some old paint to make the new paint, but he felt bad because this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How can he do that? But he did it. He had to do it for a service, so he did that. And then he took rest that night. And when he woke up, he was on the floor, and the side of his face was bleeding. And he had fallen out of his bed and cut himself right in the same spot that he had done that to Lord Jagannath. He had this big cut on his face. So the Lord will, ultimately the Lord wants to reveal himself more and more to the devotees based on their faith. You know, if we have faith in the deity, faith in Krishna and Lord Nrsingadev, you know, the pastimes of Bhagavatam is not simply to observe and appreciate historical incidences. The idea is that one actually assimilates the message of Bhagavatam and then one comes to the same level of actually becoming a devotee and having experiences and pastimes with the Lord in his spiritual form and his deity form and all these things. So Bhagavatam means the glory of the Lord and his devotees. And we understand the Bhagavatam is the book and also the person. The person Bhagavatam is the one who's living his life of the Bhagavatam, which means in the position of full surrender to Krishna. So that's what we were hearing here in a few of these texts, that Lord Nrsingadev appeared to fulfill the benediction of Lord Brahma and also to protect Prahlad Maharaj. But how did he do it? It was practically impossible, right, to appear not die, either during day or night, not by a weapon, and not by a person, and not by anything dead or alive. And so in order to keep all of these intact, the Lord appeared in this form, actually. So the concluding purport here is saying, how this is a manifestation of the amazing opulence of the Lord. But Krishna can do anything. A lot of times we limit ourselves in Krishna consciousness. We think something is beyond hope. or it's beyond our power of control. This is the natural influence of the mind to try to limit us based on material conceptions. But Krishna can do anything. Who else could imagine? Lord Hiranyakashipu, the demigods are all cowering in fear. You know, Hiranyakashipu's gotten this benediction. They're scared during this battle. They're worried that, you know, if Hiranyakashipu slips out of the Lord's hands, that he doesn't want them, he doesn't want Hiranyakashipu to see them in fear, because then he could react and destroy them. But at all times, the Lord has such inconceivable, and he can do the impossible in our spiritual life and in life in general. We just heard all these amazing pastimes of the Lord. So, dears, if we have faith, if we actually have faith in Krishna, that Krishna is real, and he is personally involved in our life on the most intimate degrees, and the more we actually take shelter of Krishna, that's the idea, is by manifesting himself in this form, he shows that those who take shelter of him, he reveals himself, he reciprocates accordingly. So this is encouraging everyone, all living entities in these pastimes of Bhagavatam, to simply take shelter of the Lord. And this is describing how whatever glories that we see in this particular world, whatever amazing things, these are simply manifestation of the Lord's power, his illumination or brilliance. Everything is insignificant in comparison to his personal, all-defeating, transcendental qualities. And as we mentioned earlier, this is ultimately a display of Krishna's qualities. Krishna does this over and over in his pastimes, where he does the impossible, or he protects his devotees in so many ways, right? In the Bhoma Lila, all these demons are coming again and again. He endears himself to the devotees by protecting them, by becoming their shelter. So in so many different forms we can worship the Lord and ultimately strive to adopt the principle that the Lord is requesting in his final instruction of Bhagavad Gita, which is Sarva Dharma Parijagya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarva Pape Bhyo Mokshai Shamima Sucha. Just surrender unto me. And all these irrelevant material fears and considerations, Krishna says, I'll protect you. Do not fear. Do not worry. So the devotee doesn't have to worry. He doesn't have to be fearful of anything. If he surrenders to Krishna, you know, you surrender to God, who's going to take better care of you? There's no one else. Anyone who takes care of someone is doing so only by the Lord's power. So we shouldn't limit ourselves by the material considerations and have faith in Krishna and his protection. And Lord Nrisimhadeva is a most merciful form that we should all strive to develop a deep relationship with. Jai. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. That's all I have for today. Yeah. Let me share something.
Hare Krishna. So these types of things, like deities revealing themselves and things like that, and people having these experiences, near-death experiences, these types of things really boost my faith a lot. You're saying that. Mm-hmm. Even more so hearing these things than just hearing, like, literature. So I was wondering if we should spend some time pursuing these types of things that really boost our faith.
Definitely.
That really make it real.
Yeah.
Because sometimes Bhagavatam, It's a little hard to tap into.
Well, the application may be difficult. As you're hearing philosophy, the main benefit of philosophy is the application of the philosophy. So when you hear, there's whole books and everything about, when you hear how Krishna is acting in the lives of his devotees in a real way, immediately you get so much faith. There's whole books. Krishna's pastimes. It's called Krishna's pastimes in deity form, or something by Stephen Knapp. I have one book and describes all these different things. Yeah, so that's why it's encouraged. That's why periodically, you know, devotees maybe share stories of these things. It's very helpful. I don't know if you're making it so much of a question or just a comment.
Got it. Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna revealing himself to his devotees, but those devotees in the Srimad Bhagavatam are like his eternal associates, you know, their pastime, they're part of the pastime. So it's hard for us to relate with them so much. It doesn't always feel real, you know, as much as hearing these types of things really like hits home, like, wow, this is real.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes it feels so, like reading the philosophy day in, day out, chanting Hare Krishna, it feels so distant actually from where we're actually at. It can feel so unreal sometimes. Mm. So I just make that point, maybe it's helpful to hear these types of things.
Yeah.
More recent and like more
relatable. We study Bhagavatam, we study philosophy, we also study the lives of devotees. That's an integral part of studying the philosophy, and that's what Bhagavatam is, the lives of devotees. So you have here many well-known lives of devotees we know, but also in the modern context, in Gaur-lila, lives of the devotees, and even in more recent generations, the lives of the acharyas. I've heard from other devotees that, you know, we can hear the pastimes of the Lord, and that's enchanting. But this devotee tells me, but for me, what really I get the most benefit when I hear the lives of the acharyas, because that's something tangible, real, that you can actually see how they lived their life with that understanding and all the amazing reciprocation. So lives of the acharyas, there's also many amazing books, lives of the acharyas, where you read how people who have a real relationship with Krishna experience that, and that boosts our faith. Anyone else, any comment or question or anything? Maybe I'll read one more here then. This is submitted by Chandamali Maharaj, from a lecture by Sachinanda Maharaj. I'll give you two examples that happened in Germany. In the early days, our center was actually in Hamburg, and in Hamburg, our devotees used to go out chanting the holy name, and sometimes they used to go at night to chant in the most sinful area. What is the most sinful area of Hamburg? Reeperbahn. And so they were chanting, and there comes a huge person, gigantic, like a big man, and he was previously drunk, or I don't know what happened. He came to attack the devotees. This was a long time ago. It was in the early 70s. And the devotees were wondering what to do. And to run away, confront the man. Someone was even thinking that he will take the kartals and swing it, because they didn't have anything to defend themselves. But the leader of the group said, just chant Nrisimha prayer. So they started to chant, Namaste Narasimhaya. And the man was coming charging. And as soon as they started to chant Nrisimha prayer, the man came about 4 to 5 feet away from them. And then something happened. His body just went up and fell flat on the ground. And in St. Paul, Reeperbahn area, two things are always available, police and ambulance. So immediately an ambulance came. Very soon the ambulance came. The people already gathered there, and they checked with him and said that he had a massive heart attack. Now tell me, was it a heart attack or something else? Lord Nrisimhadev is real. Lord Nrisimhadev takes care. Similarly, another thing happened. I think that happened somewhere in the south. I just heard the story. One girl was distributing books, and one man just attacked her. It was a lonely kind of area. She was there. She was going door to door. And when she was going from one building to another, she was just attacked. And she didn't have any place to go. She was just cornered practically. And she started to chant, and she took shelter of Nrisimhadev, started to chant his holy name. And the man just stopped, turned around, and walked away. I was with some devotees doing book distribution in a mall. They're just shooting books in a mall, and they're having a great time, but then the security caught them. So this, I don't know if you guys have ever had this happen. I've been kicked out of shopping malls before. it's always a bummer, but, you know, it's good to get that experience. So there was a bunch of devotees, and they were rounded up kind of by the security, and the security guys were there. Yeah, we got the guys here. Yeah, three of them. Yeah, doing their solicitation. Yeah. And they were calling all their other security guys and getting all together. And the devotees didn't know what to do. They're like, oh man, we could get arrested, we could go to jail or something like this. They're like, what to do? So they just looked at each other and they just started chanting like very, like a little bit eerily. Like, Namaste Narasimhaya. Pralada-la-da-da-yi. The security guard's like, what are you guys doing? Like, what are you chanting? What is that? And they just took off and they ran away. And the devotees were fine, and then they couldn't do this. So yeah, Lord Nrisimhadev is real. Krishna is real. Anything else? Okay, Dan, just a few more minutes here.
I just have a quick comment. I know sometimes we tend to freak out at the slightest little complication in our devotional plans, and so these stories kind of help me, inspire me, and I realize that a lot of times these problems that come about are like basically ways to somehow bring us closer to Krishna. We can even say that we should be looking at them as like just part of our lila with Krishna, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
So we're honestly,
in the purposes of ISKCON, he says one of the purposes is to establish temples as places of pastime for the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Wow.
So real pastimes happen with devotees. I mean, sorry, go ahead.
I guess I was just going to add that, let's see if I can remember. if we're really like sincere about our service, you know, just should try to always control our mind and kind of think of what is pleasing to Krishna in any situation, just kind of, I guess that's the only other comment I had to add.
Yeah, you said sometimes we get kind of worked up or we get a little too mental. So hearing the tangibility, it's not that we have to become pure devotees. It's not that we have to become the next Bhagavatacharya, like a real acharya. Basically, you just have to become steady in your devotional service, that's all. You don't have to become the next Uttama Bhagavat, next guru, next huge sannyasi, deliver the whole Rogers Park. No, you just have to become steady in your devotional life. You have to chant good rounds, do your service nicely, be satisfied, take some risks, do some preaching work, chant, and just be blissful, and just have faith in Krishna. And we just live our life that way, execute our life in Krishna consciousness. That's all we have to do. So more story. I'll give you a story also, if you like these stories. There's one story from Vrindavan. I was telling a few devotees, okay, Vrindavan, that's the place where Krishna reciprocates with his devotees in a real tangible way. So this is a story that you'll hear in, what's this place called? Tarakadamba. This is where Rupa Goswami used to do his bhajan. It's his bhajan kutir. He used to chant his rounds, and when he was chanting the rounds, if he was feeling the happiness of Radha and Krishna's meeting, these Kadamba trees, they would all start blossom and flowers would come just by his happiness. And when he would be in intense moods of separation, the leaves would all fall from these trees. So that's where he was doing his bhajan. You can go there, the same place. And there's a great Babaji who recently passed away there. And he was very devotedly serving Krishna Balaram for many, many years, decades, his whole life. There's beautiful Krishna Balaram deities here. And this nice Babaji, Brajbasi, he was worshipping them very intensely with his whole heart, always seeking their mercy. And he, after he was starting to age more and getting older, and he was thinking, I've done so much bhajan in my life, I've done so much worship, and I hardly feel like I'm getting any reciprocation from Krishna. I hardly get Krishna's mercy. I don't get Krishna's mercy at all. In fact, you know what? I'm going to Barshana. That's where Radharani's place is. I'm going to go and worship Radharani because she's more merciful. I've been worshiping Krishna my whole life. I'm not feeling reciprocation, so I'm going to go worship Radharani. So he started walking towards Varshana. He's walking along the path. And later on, some devotees came and they found this Babaji Maharaj on the side of the path. He was on the ground. This was only maybe 100 years ago, maybe something like that, recent times. He was on the path and his body was shaking a little bit. He was convulsing like this. And his eyes were like just in a wide, like in a different place. And they said, Babaji, what happened? Why are you, what's going on? And he could hardly move. He just said, I was walking on this path because I told Krishna Balaram I didn't want to worship him anymore. I'm going to worship Radharani. As he was walking, he said, Krishna came. And Krishna said, Krishna and Balaram came. And he said, hey, Baba, why are you going to Barshana? We're right here. we've always been hearing your prayers and everything. We're right here. So he went into this ecstatic trance. Tears were flowing from his eyes. He saw Krishna and Balaram on the path to Varshana. And then he gave up his body and left. So, yeah, that in Vrindavan, those things happen. Krishna's there. Krishna's there in the deity form. Sometimes I heard this nice story that Bhakti Anugud Janardhan Maharaj, he's a sannyasi, does a lot of service there. And he told this devotee one time, just in a very particular way, he said, you know, Krishna and Balaram, they're doing a really good job of pretending to be deities. And just the way he said it, like he said it with some realization. So that's the reality. There's a pastime here, you'll have to ask Radharaman. I asked the pujaris one time, I was like, Prabhu, you guys are always worshipping Kishore Kishore so nicely. Please tell me some pastimes. What's some reciprocations with the deity? I didn't get too many, but I got one from Radharaman. You can ask him. It's pretty amazing. Jai. So, just last thing is that there's this really nice short clip video of Lord Nrsingadev that I wanted to show you guys after the class. I'll just pull it up on there if you guys want to stick around. It's only 5 minutes. Really nice video of Nrsingadev. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanand.